you're going to be seen as outside. I had a long talk with him. That's one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life. I interviewed W.E. Du Bois. I spent the whole morning. That was, I can't describe it to you, but I think he felt sorry for me. Yeah, I came with this so-called rebel, you know. And he just sat me down. And never forget, but the interview in the NAACP headquarters on 40th Street, they had moved uptown. And my professor said, I think you should meet Du Bois. Me? He said, yeah, why don't you? I think he did it for a reason, but that's neither here nor there. And I made an appointment, and he came in at, I think it was 10:30, if I remember. It wouldn't be 10 o'clock. And he closed the door, and we talked about 2 hours. And said, well, young man, I'm very glad to have met you. And I said, well, I'm glad you gave me, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we both left the NAACP headquarters, walked up to Fifth Avenue. I was like that. And he said, have a good day. He went down Fifth Avenue, I went this way. That's one of the highlights of my life.
What kind of questions did you ask him? If you can remember.
Well, I was interested in this whole historical thing. And he had suggested a lot of his writings that why are people surprised at the behavior when people are forced to live in two different cultures at the same time. It's got to affect them. And the very nature of black folks at that time was schizophrenic. You know, you got zipped back and forth. And yes, it produces bizarre behavior, but who the hell's going to listen to Du Bois? You know what I mean? I mean, come on. They say, stay to your field, you know, this is not your field. And he felt very strongly that, as you know, he retired and he went to died in Ghana. His attitude was going home. And, you know, they wanted him to write the encyclopedia, but he never got a chance to finish it. And but he was he's a little guy, you know, dressed very European, you know, and spats and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But I think he felt sorry for me, you know. I'm talking this old nonsense and he's lived it, he's gone through all that, you know. And I guess he felt sorry for me. But he was very gracious. And,
that's a cool story.
The other big influence, you see him on the wall, Whitney Young.
Yeah.
There he is. That's when I did my street work up in Yonkers, going to jail, demonstrations, and getting locked up and asking the bishop. No, I'm serious. To come up to Getty Square, give us Holy Communion. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And, and when all this thing made the newspapers, Whitney came to see me and Yonkers. She said, man, what you doing? I said, hey, somebody got to do it. And we became just like that. And politically, he, just like Earl Graves, who with Black Enterprise, I mean, black, his name, what, black? Oh, Lord, what, black. It's a business magazine. I don't know what I, anyway, he was Whitney, he was, he was with the Treasury Department, but Bobby Kennedy, he was assigned to take care of Bobby Kennedy. And I met him because Bobby was looking for somebody to do a street thing. I was so-called good at that. And Earl became, we found out we're from so-called West Indian background. He goes to St. Philip's in Brooklyn. We're both Omegas. And when I've had some political problems, I've called him, you know. I mean, one time he called me from Paris. All right, Gordon, what's wrong? What's wrong, man? He said, the white folks are still ahead. What do you want to talk about? And I told him my little political problems. And whatever happened, whatever the problem I was saying, just disappeared. No, I'm very close to Earl. He's a different league, but I've been around Bobby Kennedy like I'm talking to you, so. You know, the Kennedy I know has a steel brace, man. So all this potency about sex, I don't know what you can do with a bad back, but, you know. Bobby was a funny, he had a non-photogenic side, and we had to carry suits and shirts, because TV is then going into color TV, and he had a, but he was a funny guy, Bobby, nice fellow, he had a whole problem about his brother. You know, he was the smallest guy. And he had, that's why he's pugnacious, you know, because all his brothers are all tall. And I was supposed to go when he was running for the Senate. I was supposed to go meet them in California, and then Buddy called me and said he did, man. I thought, oh, shit. And but he was quite a guy. And the thing that bothered him was Lena Horne. I'm serious. She's gorgeous. Oh, my God. And he just couldn't. I don't understand it, you know. I said, well, she grew up in Bed-Stuy, you know. And that affected her. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a whole movement of folks in the end of so-called Harlem, the Bed-Stuy, to own their private house, the blah, 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 blah. She got exposed to the whole Caribbean thing, you know, Marcus Garvey. And anybody gone through that period of history, you couldn't ignore what the Garveyites were talking about. Of course, it was non-intellectual, it was more of an emotional thing. But Earl, you know, I don't call him that. You know, he's Earl Grey. But he, I remember he called me at the office, and I was a guest of Jimmy Carter when he got elected and all that stuff, yeah. And we were very close. But, you know, life is a strange experience, so. It's a lot of pleasant memories, and what can I tell you? Any more questions? I know. I've been running my mouth out and get a chance.
It's all very interesting. I guess the last question that I have for you is really more about your overall experience living in Harlem and having been involved in a church that was so socially active and also had a career in activism.
I think Harlem has changed, though. Yeah. The Harlem that's there now is new for me. Which to me represents one of the new things that's happening in American life. Urban living has changed.
Yeah.
So I really, we have a few Caucasians, or whatever word one wants to use, who've joined St. Philip, so, one of the reasons I say the Kennedys, and we had a priest who grew up with the Kennedys. His name was Cogan, Father Cogan from Boston. And he came, he's going to help us at St. Philip's, good Boston Irish. Of course, people had a little change, but he was a late Irishman, not a shanty Irishman. And once he understood that every inner city or whatever word wants you has a culture, or that's how they were able to survive and handle the hostility, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I guess that's what we taught the two bishops of this diocese.
Yeah.
We went on the retreat with one of the bishops. I never forget it. And I said, whatever it was, I said, well, what emerged is a thing called Black theology. Man almost fainted. A terrorist. I mean, his family is so-called some of the founders of Harvard. And he had all the credentials, And he went on the retreat with it. Of course, in South America, you have liberation theology. And I have it over there. I said, well, I'm a broken down historian, so I went to Howard University, John Hope Franklin. I said, have you ever seen the Negro Bible? It's almost collapsed. I said, no, but that's what it's called, but there was the religious school of Howard, these guys wrote the Bible, based upon what the history of the Bible was. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I threw at the bishop, I said, well, the folks who were chased out of Asia Minor, crossed over, and they live in an African civilization called Egypt. And I don't know whether he gurgled or... And I said, whatever it is, it came down to the Greeks, because the Greeks used to go and study. Well, I had a great professor, Howard, named Snowden, and his dissertation at Yale was called Blacks in Antiquity. And he talked about the presence of people from Africa and in the Roman armies and Greek, blah, 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 blah. And in later years, before he retired, he had made the round. He realized that the voices come from everywhere. Mm-hmm. But you have a listening ear. That's what it's all about. And but this present group at the cathedral, I don't know. Haven't been a trustee of the cathedral, and on the diocese and board of St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital, all that kind of crap. So I just limited to myself.
Do you have your vestry notes?
I'm sorry?
Do you still have your vestry notes?
No, they're in the Schomburg collection. Yeah, all my handwritten, about 20 years of writing on yellow sheets. Yeah. They're in the Schomburg. That's a whole other thing. I kept my notes. Mm-hmm. And Gail, who was the church secretary, she would be about the only one to know where the collection thing so cool. I don't know what they've done at the Schomburg. I know they're there, my right. papers. And have you had a chance to look at it?
I have.
Okay.
It's a pretty extensive collection. It's great. Yeah. I actually recall your name from looking.
Well, we say, I just have been fortunate to be at the right place at the right time, I'm glad for that because it influenced my life, and then, with the chief, folks in London were off, And I said, what do you mean, what happened? And she went through the same experience with her family. They don't come here. I said, yeah, they. No, she suffered more for the laces than I did, but she's quiet about it, the folks in the building, this building was once, basically was rental, blah, blah, blah. But the major hold of the stock were Jewish. And she doesn't deal with religion. She said, no, she doesn't deal with it. But here we are, I mean, she's the one hangs all the stuff up. And
she's made it your home.
This is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been here most of the time, during the summers, we'd be in Europe, So I think she carried me, in order to get away from the cutting edge of, sensitivity. And we had our problems overseas, I remember. But she would tell these Americans, you're not in America. No, she was born as a mother. And that's why I call her the chief. She's a brilliant woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Aww. Extraordinary. She's got a... But she's paid a price for the relationship, but it doesn't bother her. She's, she knows. And she, she's very concerned with my health. My next birthday, I'll be 90. Wow. I'll be 90 years of age. I am 89.
I would never have guessed.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. God has been good. I mean, I can't, but I think it's the social gospel. I'm about business.
Yeah.
In philosophy, I'm a person that admires Paul, so a lot of my views are very Paulinial. We've been to Turkey and that whole area, so.
That's
Patmos Island, where John, I've done the whole 9 yards. Because I just wanted to see these places.
Right.
Patmos Island, I went to Patmos.
Wow.
Yeah, this is where John wrote, Paul, I've been to Damascus Road, and this is Rio. We start talking about the Byzantine Empire and all that, but we spent time in Turkey, so.
That's incredible.
Got around Turkey. So, that's me.
I
don't know what
traveled.
I bored you or.
Oh, no. This was wonderful. I just want to make a note. It's November 8th, 2013. I'm in Dr. Courtney Brown's apartment. He's agreed to an oral history interview. Thank you so much.
Okay.